Go to Joshua, Joshua chapter 24. I love youth conference, don't you? Amen. I've been going to youth conference for a long time. This is my 32nd year to go to youth conference. And I've gone 33 years to camp. And I love youth conference and camp. I'm the pastor at Calvary Baptist, but I still went to camp a few weeks ago. I still come to youth conference. I love teenagers. Teenagers make me feel smart. And so I love being around teenagers. You get around adults, you feel like you can't contribute to the conversation. You don't know anything. Well, teenagers just go, yeah, uh-huh. And you're part of the conversation. You feel brilliant. And so I love teenagers, and I'm glad that you all have come. Wouldn't be much of a conference if you weren't here. And you, I want to compliment you again. You've done a great, great job at listening and paying attention and responding to the Word of God, and I sure am thankful for that. I hope you can do it for one more night. And I know you're tired. I know you've had a long week and a busy day, and you're out in the hot sun, and you sweated a lot and had a lot of fun. But I can promise you what's going to happen over the next 3 hours. Brother Wells, you got a good one, right? All right, I'm going to be short tonight, but what happens over the next few moments here is going to be a whole lot more important than anything you've done at the celebration station or anything that you did out bowling last night. And this is really why you're here, to hear God. You didn't come to hear Dr. Bachman or Dr. Ray or Dr. Carr or Dr. Wells. You came to hear God. And so I want you to listen. Go past us, if you would, and our mistakes and the things that we do that weren't quite right. And you listen to what the Holy Spirit has for you, and you ask Him to speak to your heart. And just like you've been doing all through the week, you already make a decision tonight. No matter what God says to you, you'll say yes. Could you do that? I think we can trust God, don't you? Never go into a preaching time when the Holy Ghost is going to use His Word to speak to your heart and be resistant. You know that God knows what you need, has your best interest in mind. So you already decide, every time I hear preaching, God, whatever you say to me, I will answer yes. We got a few parents here tonight, not as many as last night, but I can promise you this, your parents, when they tell you something, they only have one answer they're looking for. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Or if your mom says it, maybe no, sir. No, that's not it. If your mom says it, she wants to hear, yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Hey, because why? It doesn't matter what you think about it, they're in authority. And I can promise you tonight, no matter what you think about it, God is in charge. And you are not your own. You're bought with a price. So make up your mind already that whatever God says, you'll just say, yes, sir. Yes, sir. And you'll respond to it. And then put those steps in practice that we talked about last night and make your decision become a success. And you'll be thrilled about it. Let's stand together. Joshua chapter 24. I'm only going to read one verse for you to get started here. And then we'll give you a few other verses along the way. Joshua chapter 24, a familiar passage, probably the most familiar verse in the whole passage. And I want to help you with it this evening. The Bible says, and if it seem evil, verse 15, and if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. And then Joshua says these words, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Now, our whole theme this week has been in the matter of stand your ground. And though last night we talked about the importance of you having a partner and someone to whom you are accountable and someone can help you when you fall and strengthen you, long before even that time comes that God brings that David and Jonathan relationship to you, or He brings that certain friend to you, or that youth pastor or pastor who helped you along the way, you first got to make the decision, you know what, I don't care even if I don't have a partner, I don't care if anybody will stand with me or not, as for me, I'm going to do what's right. We live in a day, in an age where most decisions are based on public opinion and popular poll and popular trends and what the majority favors. Teenagers usually do what they do and say what they say and watch what they watch and play what they play and go where they go and wear what they wear and listen to what they listen to because somebody else is doing it. It's very rare to find a young person that is not really concerned about what anybody else thinks. They're just going to do what's right. Often in Christian circles, there is a bigger emphasis on what people think than what God thinks. Can I remind you that when you die someday, there's not judgment seat of other Christians. There's judgment seat of Christ. You will not stand before your peers. You'll stand before God. And the only thing that's going to matter is, did you do what God said was important? Seldom is someone willing to step out and take a stand for God if they fear they will be the only one to do it. But may I remind you tonight that when Noah built the ark, he built it alone. When Elijah stood on Mount Carmel, he stood there alone. When David fought Goliath, he went into the battle alone. When Daniel went to the lion's den, he went there alone. When Peter walked on the water, he was the only one that got out of the boat. Most of the time, when great things are accomplished for God, it is because someone was willing to step out without a crowd, without a majority, without a union, without a support group, without a band of others, without a group of friends. They just step out and say, I don't know what anybody else is going to do, but as for me, I'm obeying God. On March 23rd, 1775, in St. John's Church, Patrick Henry gave his fiery speech to the Second Virginia Convention. His famous and brave closing words were these: is life so dear or peace so sweet as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery? Forbid it, Almighty God. I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death. It is with that same fervor, that same passion, that same dedication that we too need as young people to rise up and make some commitments. And tonight, may I say, and may you determine here and now, I know not what course others may take, but as for me. My desire at every invitation is that God speaks to every heart and brings every person forward. But tonight, if only one comes, that's all that matters, as long as that one is you. Forget you're here with a youth group. Forget you're here in a conference. Forget there's a friend beside you. Forget those that came with you on the van or the bus. And you just make a decision between you and God, no matter what else anybody else does, as for me. Heavenly Father, help us please to be able to listen directly and specifically to the voice of the Holy Spirit and what He has not to say to us, but to me. And God, may each person here tonight, may every teenager make some very important decisions in their life, not based on if anybody else does or doesn't, if anybody else comes or doesn't, but as for me, I pray in Jesus' name and amen. You may be seated. I want you to take your Bible now and go to Psalm in chapter 5. Psalm in chapter 5. We're going to look at that little phrase here in the Word of God a few different times, but as for me. And I think in each of these different passages that we look at tonight, I think that you'll find a great decision, a important decision, a life-changing decision, a transformational decision that you and I need to be willing to make and keep. The first one that we find here is David speaking in Psalm in chapter 5. Look at me, if you would, at verse number 7. Are you there? Psalm 5 and verse 7, he says, but as for me, I will come into thy house in the multitude of thy mercy, and in thy fear will I worship toward thy holy temple. Number one, write it down tonight. I will be in church. I will be in church. I didn't ask if your friends are going. You need to decide. As for me, I will be in church. I can tell you this tonight, you won't make it if you get out of church. I've never yet met a successful, growing, fervent, on fire Christian not in church. God on purpose established the thing called church, and he knew that you and I needed to be here, and he told us to get yourself in the house of God. And yet a whole lot of young people go to church as a young person and go to church in the junior department and go to church in the youth group and go to church where they have friends there and go to church where they have a youth pastor, and all of a sudden they walk across the platform one day and get a little piece of paper and turn a tassel on top of their hat and decide church isn't important anymore. And I'm telling you, if you get out of church, you'll ruin your life. You better make a concrete decision in the heart of hearts of every person tonight. I don't care if anybody else in my senior class does or not, if anybody else of my peers do or not, if any other my other contemporaries do or not, but as for me, I will be in church. What a great decision that'd be. Sunday school. Well, preacher, that's early. Sunday school. Sunday morning service. Back for Sunday night service. Coming back for Wednesday night service. Well, preacher, I'm going to get older and I'm going to get a job and I'm going to get busy. Be in church. Be in church. Be in church. You need to build the rest of your schedule around church, not church around your schedule. If you want to make it in your marriage, you better be in church. If you want to make it with your children, you better be in church. If you want to make it in the Christian life, you better be in church. If you want to find joy and happiness and peace and success and satisfaction, I'm telling you tonight, you better keep yourself in the house of God. Boy, we could, on this platform and across this room and Brother Ross back there, we could list for you by the dozens and by the boatloads and the truckloads those that got out of high school and got out of college and got out of church, and we don't know where they are anymore, and their life is ruined and their marriage is ruined and their children are ruined. You know why? Because they didn't make a decision. I'm going to stay in church even if I don't have a youth group, even if it's not popular, even if all my friends bail out. Hey, you better decide tonight. I will. As for me, I've already chosen. I'm going to be in church. Hey, be more faithful to church than you are to work and school. It's incredible to me that you'll still go to work or school with a headache or a cold, but you won't come to church. It's incredible to me that you'll still go to work or school if you've been up late the night before, but you won't come to church. You go to work or school if the weather's bad, but you won't come to church. I can't come to church tonight, preacher. I got homework to do. I can't come tonight, preacher. I got nothing to wear. There's only been one woman that ever had that excuse, and that was Eve. Preacher, I can't come to church. I'm down and I'm discouraged. That means you really ought to be there. It's incredible to me, preacher. Folks get down and discouraged, so they lay out of church. They're never going to get out of it. Man, church is where you come to be encouraged, and church is where you come to get your spirit back on top, and church is where you come to keep from getting down and discouraged to start with. Hey, you better decide, as for me, I'm going to be faithful to God's house. Even if you're the only one in your family that comes, you come to church. Even if your mama quits church, you come to church. Even if your daddy doesn't go, you come to church. Even if your brothers and sisters don't come, you come to church. I remember growing up, there was never a question in our house about whether or not you were coming to church. You just went. I remember as a young person deciding that I didn't want to go to church one day. And I went to Dad and I said, Dad, I don't think I can go to church today. I feel sick. And Dad said, well, did you throw up? I said, well, no. He said, well, if you didn't throw up, come to church. Let's go. We're going to church. I thought, oh. So the next time, I said, Dad, hey, I don't know if I can go to church today. I feel kind of sick. And he said, did you throw up? And I said, no. He said, then you're probably not going to. Just come on to church. I started to see a pattern, so I got smart. I went in the bathroom, and I reached back there and grabbed that little dangly thing in your throat. And I played with it a little bit until I kind of gagged. Now, I really didn't throw up, but a couple chunks came out. A little bit of slobber came out. I kind of, you know, turned red in the face and felt kind of nasty. I thought, that's close enough. I went to Dad. I said, Dad, I don't think I can go to church today. I feel sick. He said, did you throw up? I said, yeah. He said, well, then you'll probably feel better now. Come on, let's go to church. You just can't win. But you know what? At one point, I got old enough, Dad went there. I had to decide. I'm going to church. Can I tell you? I know this is hard for you to believe. I've gone to church before with a headache. I've gone to church before not feeling so good. I've gone to church before when I was tired. I've gone to church before when it was hot. I've gone to church before when it was cold. I've gone to church before. You know why? Because I'd already made up my mind. As for me, I will be in church. It's not a question. The circumstances of the day in my life have nothing to do with the decision I already made. As for me, I'll be in church. Teenagers asking other teenagers if you're going to church. Who cares? As for me. Teenagers asking other teenagers if they're going to go to the youth activity. Who cares? As for me. Teenagers asking other teenagers if they're going to go to teen soul winning. Who cares? As for me. Teenagers asking other teenagers if they're going to go on the missions trip or go to camp or go to youth camp. Who cares who else is going? As for me, I have made up my mind. I'm going to be faithful. I'm going to be there. You need to quit taking a poll and checking with everybody else to see what they're going to do and just make up your mind. Oh, but preacher, I can't drive and my parents won't take me. I'm just going to guess if you'd call your youth pastor, he'd find a way to get you to church. If you said, man, I really want to be at church and I don't have a ride, I bet you he'd find you a way. Amen. Don't use that as an excuse. You make up your mind. I'll be at church. I had a Bible club in Calumet City, Illinois, old stomping grounds of Al Capone. It was a nasty area. There were bars in some intersections, all four corners. I had this young lady in our Bible club named Cynthia Rushing. Cynthia Rushing went to the public school. Cynthia Rushing got saved. Cynthia Rushing got baptized. Cynthia Rushing started coming to our church. Cynthia Rushing loved the Lord. Cynthia Rushing carried her Bible to public school. Cynthia Rushing wore a dress to public school. Cynthia Rushing witnessed to her friends at public school and invited them to come to Bible club. Cynthia Rushing was serious about the things of God. But Cynthia Rushing didn't have a home like many of you have. Cynthia Rushing didn't have a dad. Cynthia Rushing's mom was a drunk. Cynthia Rushing's mom threw parties every Friday night for men in the neighborhood. And on Saturdays, when we got to pick up Cynthia Rushing from the Friday night party, we would go around the house and knock on her window to tell her we were there. We would go then back around to the front and we would wait for Cynthia Rushing, and Cynthia Rushing would unlock the padlocked from the inside of her bedroom door to keep the men out. Cynthia Rushing would walk over the bodies of those passed out and come to Bible club and go back home. And on Sunday morning, it was even worse than on Saturday because the Saturday night party started earlier. And Cynthia Rushing, when she got home from Bible clubs on Saturday, would take a little bit of food and put it in a container. And she'd get her clothes ready for Sunday,
And she'd take a can to go to the bathroom in, and she'd lock herself in her room from Saturday afternoon before the party started until the church bus showed up to go to church. And Cynthia Rushing would have spent the whole night locked in her room to be safe until the church bus came. And Cynthia Rushing would unlock the three locks and walk over the bodies and the beer bottles and the drug paraphernalia. And with a smile on her face and a pretty dress on and a Bible in her hand, she'd come to church. Now, I'm sorry, why aren't you there? I'm sorry, why couldn't you make it for Sunday school? I'm sorry, tell me again, why you couldn't be back on Sunday night and Wednesday night in youth group? What's the difference? Not the circumstance. The difference is there was a young lady that said, as for me. As for me. The only one in her neighborhood. The only one from her family. But she just made up her mind. I'm going to be in church. Man, come with the right attitude. I was glad when they said unto me, let's go to the house of the Lord. Come with the right priority. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. The Bible didn't say seek ye first video games. Seek ye first sleeping in. Seek ye first watching movies. Seek ye first eating. Seek ye first Facebook. Seek ye first the football game. Seek ye first going to the park. Is God's house a priority in your life? Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is. You see, God already was smart enough to look down through history and know that there would be others who didn't take important the house of God. And he said, I don't care the manner of others, you decide. As for me, I'm going to be in church. That's what David said. I hope that's what you'll say. It's sad to me that most churches are made up of old people. I love old people because I'm getting to be one. But it's a shame when there's this much youth out there that our churches aren't packed jam full of teenagers. Because I'll tell you this, if you can't show up in a teenage body, you're going to really struggle in a 46-year-old body. If you can't show up at church because you've got bills, you got to pay, so you got to work your $4.65 per hour job because you got to make the payments, what are you going to do when you have a house payment? You see, you're setting a precedent. You're setting a priority. You're setting a direction in your life. And you better decide right now, as for me, I'm going to be in church. Look at Psalm 17. You're close there. Psalm 17. David uses that little phrase again. Psalm 17 and verse 15. Psalm 17 and 15. As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. I would say, secondly, not only should you decide, as for me, I'll be in church, but as for me, I will get to know God. It's about time we quit waiting on a program or a reward or a support group and decide whether my mom or dad do it or not, whether the rest of my youth group does it or not, or it's considered cool or not. As for me, I will get to know God. You need more than just a Sunday God, young people. You need more than just a church God, people. You need more than just a preacher's God. You need more than just your youth group God. You need more than just mama's God and daddy's God. You personally need to get to know God. Can I say this? God personally wants to know you. God just doesn't want to look down over the group tonight and know us as a congregation, know us as a group, know us as his people. God wants to know you, and God wants to know you, and God wants to know you, and God, but hey, it's just not these guys on the platform God wants to know. God wants to know seventh graders, and God wants to know young teenage boys, and God wants to know young teenage women, and God wants to know folks from every aspect of life. Because God is interested in the individual, but very few individuals are interested in God. Amen. We're only interested in God as a group, because that's easier. We're only interested in God at youth conference, because that's easier. We're only interested in God at young fundamentalists, because that's easier. We're only interested in God at teen soul winning, because that's easier. But I'm telling you tonight, God wants to know you personally, and God wants you to seek his face and find out more about him and decide to spend time with him all by yourself. But it's going to take you deciding deep inside, as for me, I don't care if anybody else does or not, I will get to know God. Well, preacher, I'm going to do that someday. No, you start now. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Please quit waiting on mom and dad to read and study their Bible. You decide to do it. Well, I'm waiting on a friend to pray. No, you decide to pray. Well, I want my neighbor to seek God's face. No, you seek God's face. Well, I want my brother or sister to go soul winning with me. No, you go soul winning. I'm waiting on other teenagers to grow in the Lord. No, you grow in the Lord. Hey, even if you're the only one in your family, you decide to get to know God. Even if you're the only one in your school, you decide to get to know God. Even if you're the only one in your neighborhood, you decide to get to know God. Even if you're the only one in your youth group, you decide to get to know God. Even if you're the only one in your church, you decide to get to know God. Hey, God is available, and God is willing, and God is waiting. He just wants somebody to quit waiting for everybody else and decide, I, by myself, will seek after God. Good thing Noah didn't wait for a group to walk with God. It's a good thing that Abraham didn't wait on Lot to become a friend of God. It's a good thing that Joseph didn't wait on his brothers to follow God. It's a good thing that Elijah didn't wait on the majority to stand for God. It's a good thing that David didn't wait on the children of Israel to fight against Goliath. It's a good thing that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego didn't wait on the rest of the kingdom to refuse to bow to the king's idol. It's a good thing Daniel didn't wait on others to remain steadfast in prayer. I can tell you, dear young person, if you're going to walk with God and get close to God and get to know your God and pray to God, you might have to be willing to step out all by yourself and say, as for me, I've decided to know God. Listen to the words of David as he dedicated himself to get to know God alone. Out on those hillsides of Bethlehem. Can I remind you, as he writes these words, as a teenager, he didn't have a youth group. As he writes these words as a teenager out there on the hillside, all by himself, Jesse wasn't there beside him. As he writes these words, hey, he didn't have a church, he didn't have his brothers, he didn't have a following, he didn't have a group of friends, he was out there all by himself. And as he looked up at the starry night sky, he said, I believe that that God up there wants to know me, and I don't care if anybody else wants to know him or not, I've decided in my heart, I will know that God. He did it as a teenager. My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning I will direct my prayer unto thee and will look up. When thou saidest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and thou shalt hear my voice. Hey, David didn't wait till it was popular. He just said, as for me, I'm going to do it. Sounds to me like a young man who is not waiting for the program, the promotion, the prize, the pastor, the popularity, the person to motivate and encourage him to seek after God. He was willing to get to know God all by himself. He said in Psalm 55 and 16, "As for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me." He said in Psalm 69 and 13, "But as for me, my prayer is unto thee, O Lord, in the acceptable time." I ask you tonight, what is your hunger level? What is your thirst level to get to know God better than you do, even if you do it alone? As the heart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I appear before God? O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee. In a dry and thirsty land where no water is, I stretch forth my hands unto thee. My soul thirsteth after thee, O God, as a thirsty land. Hey, David was somebody that got serious about the matter of getting to know his God, and he didn't wait on anybody else. He said, "As for me, I'm going to do it." Amen. And he did it. Daniel decided to pray alone no matter what. And after the lion's den, the king decreed that everyone must pray to Daniel's God. Elijah prayed alone and called down fire from heaven and stopped the rain for 3.5 years. Joshua prayed alone and made the sun stand still for an extra day. Can I remind you that the great Fulton Street prayer revival started with one man who said, "As for me." He passed out flyers. He advertised it. He went to the area businesses. He announced it to the area churches. And when he showed up that first day, he showed up all by himself. And he decided, even if they don't come, if New York City is going to be saved, somebody's going to pray. And he prayed, and then a couple trickled in, and the next day a few more, and the next day a few more, and before long, all across New York City, over 600,000 people were praying, and it spread to Baltimore, and it spread to Denver, and it spread to Memphis, and it spread to Atlanta, and all across the United States, and then in England, and all across Europe, and in the Bahamas. And people all across the world got on fire for God because one man said, "I'm not waiting until there's a movement. I'll start the movement. I'll be the one who says, as for me, I'll know God." Go to Psalm 26. You're close by there. Psalm 26. David's got another "but as for me" in the Bible. Not only does he say, "But as for me, I will be in church. But as for me, I will get to know God." But Psalm 26 and 11, "But as for me, I will walk in mine integrity. Redeem me and be merciful unto me." Thirdly, this evening, it is time that no matter who else is or who else is not, we will decide to live upright and be separated and be pure and be honest and have integrity and maintain a good testimony and live right. Our world is waxing worse and worse. Our government is growing more corrupt. The airwaves are filled with more vulgarity. The TV shows and movies are filled with more fornication. The homosexual agenda continues to prevail. They're legalizing marijuana and gay marriage and illegal immigration while they're making unlawful public prayer and the Bible and Jesus Christ. That which is abominable has become accepted and protected. That which is vulgar has been made a form of music. That which is called nakedness is now called fashionable. Babes are still being murdered in their mother's womb. Drug and alcohol and crime continues to be on the rise. Our schools have become war zones. Morality, ethics, and decency are becoming extinct. But friend, it is not just Hollywood, and it is not just Congress, and it is not just the rock music culture, and it is not just the gay movement, and it's not just the liberal professors and the media and the education system. Dear friend, the Christian kind of living that you and I once do is becoming extinct even in the house of God, among God's people. And it's time that somebody rises up and says, but as for me, I'll still live right. Preacher, doesn't sound like it's popular anymore. It's never been popular. A preacher, doesn't sound like the majority's in favor anymore. The majority's never been in favor of it. A preacher, they're making laws against it. They made a law on Daniel's day too, but he stood for right. They made a law on Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego's day too, but they stood for right. Hey, dear friend, you're not the first Christian to have to face some adversity about this matter, but I can promise you this, you are not going to stand for right. Instead, you decide down deep inside of me, I don't care what everybody else does. I don't care what the Congress thinks. I don't care what the Supreme Court says. I will live right. Amen. Preacher, I'm just a teenager. So is David. I'm just a teenager. So was Josiah. Well, I'm just a teenager. So was Samuel. Well, I'm just a teenager. Hey, that's never stopped us before. It doesn't matter who you are, what your birthday is, how old you are, who your mama is, who your daddy is. If you just decide, I am going to live for God, God can use you. The church is getting more liberal. Christians are getting more carnal. Families are becoming more worldly. Pastors are compromising. And God's people are becoming less holy. We have never needed like we need for today for a whole bunch of people, but one at a time to say, I don't care who else does, as for me. As for me, I'll stay honest. As for me, I'll stay modest. As for me, I'll stay faithful. As for me, I'll stay pure. As for me, I'll stay right. As for me, I'll stay fundamental. As for me, I'll stay separated. As for me, I'll stay righteous. As for me, I'll stay holy. As for me, I'll stay biblical. As for me, I'll stay upright. As for me, I'll stay on the old paths. As for me, I'll remain an independent, fundamental Baptist. As for me, I'll still carry a King James Bible. As for me, I'll still be conservative. As for me, I'll still bang on doors and go soul with them. As for me, I'm going to keep on doing right. I don't care if it makes you look strange or make you look weird. Hey, the Bible says you are a chosen people, a peculiar people. Hey, we are not here to fit in. We're here to stand up for Jesus Christ. So many others may not understand and mock you. Call you Billy Bible and the preacher man. That's okay. You could be called worse. But if you'll stand, you'll be the one they come to later when their life falls apart. Too many of God's people are changing with the times, drifting with the world. They made their Christianity a matter of convenience instead of a matter of priority. They're making their religion a weekend event instead of a daily practice. Too many have pulled away from holy living because it's not popular. They don't want to be offensive to the carnal. My dear friend, we are not supposed to measure what we do by what's popular or by what carnal people say. I'm supposed to be growing unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Jesus Christ. That's the measuring stick. Too many people have dropped their standards, dropped their stand, dropped their separation. They're fitting in. They're conforming. They're becoming evangelical. Too many have overruled God's commandments for their own desires. And it's time that God's people quit floating downstream and decide that they will be separated and they'll be peculiar and they'll be holy even as unto God. And if everybody mocks them and everybody criticizes them and everybody turns and goes the other way, it doesn't matter because I have decided, as for me, I'll live right. Your Christian character is not tested when it's floating downstream and everybody else is on board. It's revealed while you're fighting upstream all by yourself. Dare to stand alone for Christ. Decide you'll dress right, act right, look right, listen to the right music, go to the right places, say the right things, read the right books, hang around the right people, be encouraged about the things of God, be a faithful witness, treat people with respect, be obedient to your parents. Hey, I don't care if nobody else does it. As for me, I'll be in church. As for me, I'll get to know God. As for me, I'll live right. Last one, our passage we started with, Joshua 24. Joshua 24, in that same verse, verse number 15. Three as for me's we look at from the life of young David. And now the new young leader, Joshua, as they've crossed into Jordan and are getting ready to go into the promised land, and he comes before the people and he says, I don't know what you guys are going to do. You might want to go home. You might want to go back to the idols. You might want to go back to the land of our forefathers. You might want to serve what they serve. You think it's evil to serve God. I don't care what you think. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. What is it, teenager, you're doing to serve the Lord? Boy, you ought to be beating down the preacher's door. Please, preacher, let me help in a Sunday school class. Please, preacher, let me help in children's church. Please, preacher, let me work on a bus route. Please, preacher, let me sing in teen choir. Please, preacher, let me help in the nursery. Please, preacher, let me help be an usher. Let me greet people at the front door. Let me go sowing in with the youth pastor through the week. Let me clean the church. Let me help mow the lawn. Let me help rake the leaves. Let me help vacuum the hallways. Let me help clean the restrooms. Let me help clean some of the widow's house or elderly member's house. Not to get paid. Not to get a pat on the back. Not to get my name in the bulletin. Not for someone to think me well of me. I just want to serve God. Isn't it a shame that we get so excited about being saved by grace and not of works, but then when God says, now work, we don't want to do it. Serving God is not just our duty. It is our joy. It is our honor. It is our privilege. The songwriter said, I am happy in the service of the King. I am happy, oh, so happy. Bible says serve the Lord with diligence. The Bible says serve the Lord with seriousness. The Bible says serve the Lord with gladness. The Bible says serve the Lord with humility. The Bible says serve the Lord with fervency. Our spirit, our motivation ought to be like the songwriter wrote, I will serve thee because I love thee. Preacher, why ought I serve God? Why not? He died for you. He took you from a wretched sinner on its way to hell and gave you the opportunity to go to an eternal heaven. He forgave you of all your sin. He took your wretched heart and made it white as snow. He erased your past and took the things that were against you and nailed them to his cross. He gave you the opportunity to be called a son of God, a child of the King, and co-laborers with Jesus Christ. Why wouldn't you serve him? I think if you loved him, you'd serve him. It's not always easy. We said that last night. But it's always right. Don't wait to see if your friends want to get involved. Don't wait to be asked. Quit checking the weather, the wind, and the women. Decide, as for me, I will serve the Lord. But maybe also tonight somebody here would say, preacher, I don't know if anybody else will or not, but I just don't want to serve him here and there. I want to serve him with my whole life. I'm not much. I don't have a lot to offer. But if God would be willing to take somebody like me and find a way to do something for him, count me in. I don't know if anybody else in my youth group will or not, but as for me, I don't know if anybody else at this conference will or not, but as for me, I don't know if my mom and dad will be thrilled with it or not, but it doesn't matter. As for me, I don't know if my friends will or not, but as for me, I just want to serve God. If he wants to use me to preach, God, as for me, I'll serve you. I sought for a man among them to make up the hedge and stand in the gap, and I found not even one. It wasn't popular. It didn't pay as good as the computer programming job. It wasn't exciting as being a doctor or a lawyer. It didn't fulfill all my dreams like I had dreamed for myself. But at one point, I had to lay all that aside and come to the reality of the fact that I'm not my own. I'm bought with a price. I ought to glorify God in my body and my spirit because it's his. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. It is your reasonable service. Is anybody else going to do it, preacher? Who cares? Will my friends do it, preacher? Who cares? Will my classmates do it, preacher? Who cares? What if I'm the only guy on the ball team? Who cares? As for me, I don't have to give an account to God for anybody else but me. But I do have to give an account for me. What's keeping you back? Is it somebody else? You're not supposed to be looking here, there, and there. Just look there. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. Decide tonight, you'll say, I have decided to follow Jesus. Though none go with me, still I will follow. No turning back. No turning back. World behind me, doesn't matter. I got a cross before me. And I'm not turning back. I'm not turning back. Would you tonight, right where you're standing, right where you're sitting, right where you'll be kneeling, forget about everybody else in the room and make a personal decision. As for me, Lord, I'm making a promise, a vow. I'll be in church. As for me, I'm going to get to know you, even if I have to do it all by myself. As for me, I'll live right, even if I have to do it over here all by myself. And as for me, I will serve the Lord.